Hi Gediminas, welcome to the studio.
Hi Kevin, nice being here.
I can imagine a lot of our viewers don't know you yet. You're a world famous top ultra marathon athlete. But I can also imagine that a lot of our listeners don't even know what ultra marathon is. So maybe we should start there. What is it you're doing?
I'm running, yeah? And it's like simplified answer to that, but coming to ultra running, or like more precise ultra trail running, what I do. So it's, you know, everything what is more than marathon, you know, and everything what is less than, you know, 80% of asphalt is like what I do, yeah, on the trails. And usually my challenge is not the horizontal, like a lot of like runners do here in Belgium, you know, but more vertical, yeah, because like, yeah. In my sport, we're basically climbing the 10,000 meters on the ladders up to the heaven in one go, yeah. So this is what trail running is, and I had like some success, you know, in the past, and currently, you know, I won Ultra Trail World 2 in 2016, and it was kind of a long journey. It took me like from 2012 to 2016 to achieve
just
that
to
goal.
Give an idea of how long is such a race.
It could be anything like from 50k, yeah, which is a standard now with a UTMB World Series establishment, mm-hmm. You know, to 160. My longest was 170, you know, kilometers with 10,000 meters of elevation gain in one go. And if it's like in stage running, so it's like the most famous Provo Marathon de Sables, which is technically is a trail running as well, yeah, you're just yep. running on the dunes, and it was like 250 kilometers, you know, in 5 days. So I managed to do a couple of that in a couple of these races as well, you know, in Marathon de Sables Morocco, Peru, yep. in Mexico, yeah. So this is what trail running is, and I don't know, I have like some success in that, even though some people, you know, when I first time started to run, said, you'll fail. You know, you're from flat country like Belgium is, you know, I'm from Lithuania, so we don't have a mountain. So how you can be a good mountain runner? Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you're starting so late.
Yeah, we actually met on the trails. And there are two things I want to talk with you about. First of all, I think there are a lot of parallels between being an event planner, which our audience is, but even more doing business in general, yeah. and ultra running. I want to talk about that a little bit. And on the second part of the interview, I want to talk about you as a keynote speaker. You have a very interesting background story. Maybe we can dive into that a little bit more to give a preview to the audience if they're looking for a keynote speaker, what story you bring and why it's interesting to share with their audiences.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. Let's do that. You know, you drive a conversation, you know, and be happy to answer any questions you have, you know.
So, in your opinion, what are the parallels between doing business and ultra running?
I think, you know, it's just, well, like a humans, you know, like we process all the information and do all the planning, you know, in the same way. No matter it's business, it's running, you know, it's military stuff, it's like anything, you know.
That
like
we didn't say yet, but you yeah. also, we come back to that in the yeah. second part, but you also have a military background.
Yeah, like even in daily life, you know, like the decision-making process is pretty much the same, you know. Like we look at our end goal, you know, or end state, you know, and for business, it could be, you know, like to earn some money, you know, or like to establish some company, yeah. And in trail running or running in general, you know, it could be like to reach the finish line, yeah. And in a way, we have like so multiple problems, yeah. And the problems is like a kind of a brain thing, you know, to solve the problems, yeah. And mm-hmm. we are solving it on this way. Yeah, so it's in our brain, actually, like I believe in that, and there is some science which backs it. But doesn't see the difference, you know, what you do. Yeah, they're like just looking at the experience which you have, you know, and the failures which you have, and they are trying to fix that problem, you know, through your experiences. Yeah, so no matter what you take, you know, our brain works in the same way, just solving kind of different, but at the same time similar problems. Yeah? Yeah. So yeah, and like if to be more precise, what is in common? So as I said, you know, the end state usually, you know, and the problem solving game, like through the planning process, yeah, and late through implementation process. Yeah. So it's a lot of parallels, and running helps the business, and business actually helps the running. You know, so yeah.
Yeah, because if you look at an event planning process, it's not a sprint. It's a project that takes a lot of time, mm-hmm. and you need to endure. You don't get to quit halfway. And I think there's also a parallel that you need to push through even when it gets hard.
Yeah, like a business and, you know, like and a trail running, it's like both endure sports. Yeah, because of course nothing goes according to the plan. You know, always there is some diversion from the plan. You know, and something happens what you didn't predict. You know, and of course during the planning process you have like this like cause of actions. You know, or like the contingency plans, what can be go left. You know, and how to solve it. But usually, you know, during the implementation phase, you know, or during like the event or like trail running, you know, you experience totally different problems which you didn't encounter. Like, you know, in trail running, it could be like some gut problems, you know, which prevents you from finishing. You know, it could be some injuries. It could be
taking the wrong turn.
Exactly. This is what's my favorite, you know, like taking the wrong turn, you know, and you need to know how to cope with that, because taking the wrong turn, it looks like a kind of a minor problem, you know. But in the past, for some of your friends, you know, like I give you an example of Jim Wimsley, which is another great runner, you know, and he's a winner of UTMB and many, many other races, yeah. I think he's currently even ranked number one, like, in the world, yeah. So basically, during Western State race, yeah, which is the most famous race in the US, he was leading the race, yeah. And he took the wrong turn, yeah, during the race. And he ran like, I don't know, like 5 kilometers or close to that, you know, in the wrong direction. And when he realized that, he was totally destroyed, you know. He sit on the stone and his mind was like...
But it's very hard to realize.
I know, but like he sit like there and he thought like, all right, like a lot of people already passed me, you know. Yeah. So this is, I'm done, you know, I'm not achieving my goals, which was like basically like to win the race. And he just gave up, you know, and he didn't move. He dropped the race. But what in reality happened, or it could happen in reality, if he could go back, if he'd still run the right direction, he could win the race, yeah? Because other guys were like 1 hour behind, yeah? So mm-hmm. he still have time like to finish that, yeah? So
it's like, and even finishing is more important. If you're organizing an event, it's like you say, you plan for 10 scenarios, the 11th happens, and you need to adapt. You need to find a way, and especially if your crowd is already there, you need to find solutions and you need to bring it to the finish.
And it's obvious, you know, like, but in some situations, you know, if you don't have a proper plan or like, I would say experience, yeah, you don't know that it is the truth. Yeah. And of course, next year, Jim came to the same race. He won the race, you know, because he got more experience. He knew that even if he's taking wrong turn, he needs to go back, you know, and finish the race. And this is what they did in Trans-Gran Canaria race, like, I don't remember the year, but like some years back, you know. I was leading the race with a few guys. I took the wrong turn. I ran down the mountain, you know. Then I realized that I'm off the track. It was already as well, like 2 kilometers. But, you know, like I knew from my experience that, you know, I can still be like on the podium. Yeah, maybe I'm not going to win the race, but maybe I could be on the podium. So I turned back. I went the right direction and I won the race. Yeah. So, and I won the race. Yeah. So you can imagine that this like bad things which happen, you know, it's not, it's just, you know, you don't need to stop, you know, you need just to continue a fight and like, because like in my mind, you know, like my mind plays like these games, you know, I said, okay, I've been lost, but the other guys in front of me can experience other problems, you know, maybe stomach problems, maybe they will take as well the wrong turn. So I still have a chance. So I still keep fighting. Huh? And I think the important thing as well, business or trail related, you know, that you have your goals, but on the way to that goals, when the problem occurs, you need either to increase your ambitions or to decrease your ambitions. Yeah. Kind of leverage your goals. Yeah? And sometimes during the race, if I see that I feel very good and my plan was just to win the race, I said, okay, maybe I'll go and I'll break the record. Yeah. So I'm kind of my ambition increasing, you know, and I'm going for that. And it happened like many times in my racing career. Yeah. And sometimes when you have a bad day and nothing goes according to plan, you need to decrease your ambitions. Yeah. I said, okay, like, I'm not going to win the race, but maybe I can try to be top five. Yeah, and if it's top five, it's not already, you know, in the plan. I said, okay, my plan is just to finish the race, no matter how bad I feel.
But how do you set that level of ambition? Because for most people, when they encounter some difficulties, the first thing that comes to mind is, I need to quit. But you adapted and said, no, I don't need to quit, but maybe a third place is also good today.
Yeah, no, like the quitting is not the option for me. I don't know, but it's again like very personal. Yeah, I'm not a quitter, you know. Probably, you know, what can force me to quit is that I'll jeopardize my future plans. Yeah? If mm-hmm. I have like a race which is like 1 month later and I'm with an injury, it makes no sense. Yeah, but in general, I'm not a quitter. And like going into the race, I already have this mindset. Yeah, so I think the mindset is very important before starting doing anything. Yeah. And then you know that, you know, you program yourself like that. Yeah. So your mind is already in this mood that, you know, like you need to finish. The same like with interval running. Yeah. It's kind of never feels okay, never feels good, never they say, hey, let's do a workout, you know, which is hard. You know, like it's always, you know, that you'll be suffering, mm-hmm. but you kind of already like day before, if you know, like in advance, the week before, you know that day you need to suffer, you know, that day would be difficult, you know, but you know that you'll go through it. Yeah. And it comes from experience because you did it many times, the intervals, you didn't die. Yeah. You improved. So you are going to keep going and, you know, you'll finish what you started. Yeah. So it's like mind preset and experience.
But that's again the same with an event. Eh? If you're planning a festival, for example, mm-hmm. and the festival takes a whole weekend. As an organizer, you're there for 2-3 days,
all right.
probably even longer because you need to do the build-up, you need yeah. to clean up afterwards, you're the captain on the scene, so you need to be there. In reality, that's also an endurance race, yeah. because you don't sleep a lot, you're at peak performance at that day.
Yeah, like it's like, you know, but it's like, well, like in military, like you said, like you were saying, you know, we're like first in and the last out, right? Mm-hmm. Because we are going through all the process, you know. And as well, running doesn't start on the start line, actually. Running starts for me, you know, 1 year in advance, because now I have my, you know, like strategical plan, yeah, where I'm putting all the races through the year, you know. Then I have like kind of my operational plan, you know, when I'm preparing for races, and the tactical plan is like implementation, you know, already this is the start line and the finish line, you know, and what I'm doing on the way. Yeah. So it doesn't start with a start. Yeah. It starts like many years, I would say, back. Yeah. Because some races or like some events which I plan, like this ultra true was on my mind like for several years, you know, and I like aimed like and like systematically, strategically, and like when operationally they approach it, you know, so it lasted yeah. for a few years, yeah, because like when I started, you know, I finished like Fed in 2014, you know, I got like second place worldwide, you know, in 2015, and just 2016 I succeeded, yeah. And when I have a kind of a dopamine crash and I needed to restart again, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know whether you want to share it here or not, but yesterday we were talking and we were talking about having setbacks, and you told the Red Bull story. I did find that very inspiring.
Yeah, like because, you know, like a lot of people say like, okay, you get the minutes, you know, you achieved that and that, you know, you won all these races, so you're well physically built and this is how we can do. But how we, you know, like ordinary people, you know, like with any special gifts, you know, or possibilities or physical buildup can do that. Yeah. So they kind of think that it's totally different stories. But actually this like Red Bull story proves opposite. Yeah. Because like I had some successes in the races and Red Bull spotted me. And we said, okay, like this is a good candidate, you know, for our team. And they invited me to Salzburg, you know, to their HQ. And they said like, okay, before we sign, we need to do some testing. Yeah, because we test all the athletes and we want to see that you are like Ferrari, but not Fiat, you know. And, yeah. And actually what happened that they saw that I'm Fiat rather than Ferrari. Yeah? Because we tested my V2 Max, yeah, which basically for audience to understand is like how big my engine, yeah, and how yeah. powerful I can use the engine. Yeah. So we tested my V2 Max, and instead of required 76 number, we found that it's like 56. Yeah, so basically they noticed that I am not 12 cylinder car but just 4-cylinder car, and we did some strength testing, you know, and I failed it, you know, we did lactate threshold testing and I failed it. So basically they said like, you're ordinary guy, you know, we're not hiring ordinary guy, you know, because we're looking like not the average person but something you know, like above yeah. that. Yeah. And I like was kind of a bit depressed, you know, like I said, oof, like I need to do something different in my life, like maybe to play chess, you know, or, which is not physical activity.
The tank is also fun.
It's fun, but it does not require you too much. Yeah? It requires a brain capacity. Yeah? And after that, I said, okay, like let's put this bad energy, which I got, you yeah. know, during all these testings and all these remarks from them to the positive one. And I said, let's see how it goes. And I signed for all the races where Red Bull athletes were in 2016. It was like 2016, the beginning when they tested me. And I won all the races, you know, against the, like this Ferrari just being the Fiat. And then I raised the question to myself, how I could do that, you know?
So, I'm wondering about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So I raised that question, and the only one answer which came to my mind, it's brain power, you know, the will, you know, basically how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it to prove to yourself and to others that you can do some impossible things, yeah? Which kind of possible, yeah? Because...
And it also translates to how deep and how much pain you can endure?
It's true, but it's related with brain as well, brain function, because like the pain and brain is just perception, how we feel, yeah? And it comes from experience. My military experience, my life experience, yeah. And just to be completely, you know, honest about Red Bull test, I didn't fail one test. Do you know which one?
I don't know.
Like psychology.
Oh.
I was at the high level. And it's not only, you know, like the standard psychology test where you're answering, you know, the questions, you know, if you're counting the pulse or whatever, like crazy stuff. It was that as well, the part of it. It was like around like 500 questions. But they have very sophisticated like kind of testing. You see like on the screen, you know, the, for example, like five triangles, and then you need to push the button. And it's kind of boring and dull task, but this is how we're measuring how... good you are focusing on task, how long you can do the same boring and stupid task. Yeah? And of course, everyone makes mistake, you know, like because if there is like four triangles and one square, you don't need to push the button. But like when you are tired, your brain is tired and wandering somewhere, like so when you push the button. Yeah? And for some people, it could last like 15 minutes, for some like maybe just 5 minutes, or like if you have especially the attention deficit, for me, it lasts a long time. I don't remember exactly, but I would say around 1 hour when I made a mistake. Yeah, when you're refocusing and when you're pushing button as well. Yeah? And this is a kind of very important skill, you know, anything you do. Yeah, because if you could be focused, you know, on the effort, you know, you could focus on your task, you are not making mistake, either it's business or running, you know. In running, it means, you know, if you make mistake, you like get injured, yeah, because you basically turn your ankle, yeah, which is the injury common for the runners when they are tired and they are not focused on the road, yeah. And of course, when you're running like 24 hours, like I do sometimes, so this like mind, you know, like or focus wander something somewhere, yeah, and then the problem happens, yeah, you fall, or so
But here we come to the topic you're typically speaking about in your inspirational keynote sessions. That's that brain power. Do you think it's trainable? Can everybody train that?
Of course, like and it you can train it like even in your regular life, you know, like because our brain is like a kind of a miracle. And now how we are speaking, you know, we're speaking different language, you understand each other. It's like brain. It's not our tongue. It's moving. Yeah. And so it's like everything is trainable. Yeah. And if you have a like kind of the boss, I know you don't have a boss, but like imagine you have a boss who screams on you. Like at first, like what people do, they cannot concentrate because we listen to what he's saying, you know, they're thinking too deeply. But if it happens day by day, so you kind of learn how to ignore it. You know, you don't hear it and you can focus on your task. Yeah. So it's the same like the people who live close to airfield or train station. After a while, they don't hear the noise. Yeah. So we kind of manage the same with the pain. Yeah. Like we can ignore it. Yeah.
Let's zoom out a little bit because until now, it's already have been very inspirational. But if you look at your complete story, it becomes even more powerful because... Yeah, we already spoiled that you were in the military, leading to a diagnosis of PTSD.
Right.
And for you, that was the moment that you started thinking about running and went into that direction. Can you tell a little bit more about how that process went and what it did, especially for that brain power you were talking about?
So basically, you know, like I had like 20 years in military. Yeah? I served with the Lithuanian forces, I served with NATO, you know, and I've been deployed to Afghanistan and Iraq. Yeah? And of course, when you're young, you look at it like military tourism. Yeah, it's fun. Your friends did it. But actually, for me, it didn't turn that way because I saw the people injured, dead, you know, and I experienced the conditions in which I could possibly die. And my wife at the time was pregnant, you know. So it's a lot of things going on in your head, basically, yeah. And like being young, you are not showing to anyone, you know. I didn't want to open up, you know, to my colleagues, you know.
That's the military.
Exactly. This is military because you need to be tough, yeah. If you want to be a general one day, you need to be tough, yeah. Because like showing your weakness is not the way how it goes, right? Even from family, you know, because just to keep them calm. you know, at home, you know, I tried to hide it, you know, and,
yeah.
you know, I just said that everything is okay, you know, and it was like one, like funny, not funny, but like a story when, like, you know, the attack started and I was on the phone with Ginter and, you know, she said, what's going on? You know, and I said, ah, it's fireworks, you know, it's like the locals celebrating the wedding or whatever, you know, and I said, but I need to go. Yeah. So it happens a lot of things, you know, and then your life is jeopardized, you know, when you see that you probably never will see your, you know, newborn child, you know, it's like you are getting traumatized, yeah. And especially when the friends and like other, you know, who surrounds you start to mm-hmm. die and disappear, so it's kind of very painful, yeah. And to cope with, because like PTSD is kind of brain damage, yeah, let's say. So to cope with brain damage, you need to heal in the same way. And the only reliable source at the time which I used, it was Google. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Dr. Google. And I, yeah, like it's funny, but it's like it was true. And I find out that for Vietnam veterans, yeah. you know, the physical activity helps, you know. And I started to think what it could be, you know. And I said, okay, like I run a little bit in military, maybe the endurance running mm-hmm. would help. Yeah? And this is how I started to cope with that. I started to do on a mission already, you know. Running like some loops, you know, in the base, which was 1 kilometer on 1 kilometer.
But before you weren't a runner.
No, I wasn't a runner at all. I was just like doing it for the to be fit yeah. to pass the exams in military. But it was not my passion. It was not what I liked. You know, I did boxing. I did some martial arts. You know, I pumped the weights, but never on my mind I could like ever thought that I'll become professional runner or dreamed to be a professional runner. Yeah. So I started it just like a remedy. Yeah, to get rid. You know, of the gift with military and missions, you know, and the war zone gave it to me. Yeah. And I started, of course, not doing, you know, ultras, yeah, because you're not going, putting the shoes and go and do like 100 miles. Yeah. I started to do short races, you know, like 5K, 10K. I like did marathon. And after marathon, I said, like, you know, I walked backwards and I said, never again, you know, it's like something like, you know, stupid.
It's recognizable.
Yeah, recognizable. Yeah. Like totally like I did everything what novice runners do, all the mistakes. Yeah. And, my wife actually, you know, like saw that it helps me because, you know, with PTSD, when you're coming back home, it's not the same, you know, like all the job you do, like in the peaceful environment looks like nonsenseless. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. it has no purpose, you know, like, and you're getting a little bit more anxious, you know, you're like kind of like small things annoys you. And my wife noticed that when I'm running, I'm becoming like a better person, you know, I'm more relaxed, more calm, you know, I'm not increasing the voice anymore, you know, I can concentrate. Yeah. So there was a lot of positive things going on in my life and my wife encouraged that, you know, and it was like big turning point because, you know, when like your second half, like gives you permissions to do what yeah, you yeah. love, you know, it's much easier yeah, and more enjoyable. Yeah. And this is where I started to go longer and further. And yeah, and I think the first like successful race was like in 2012, but it was still on the road because we had like this like 100 kilometers road record in Lithuania, which was not broken like for 20 or 25 years. And this kind of like, I don't know, attracted me. And I said, okay, I need to do it, you know, because no, it looks like impossible task because nobody were able to do that. People tried, they failed. Yeah. So I focused on that and I succeeded. Yeah. And I said, okay, maybe I'm not so bad runner, you know, yeah. and yeah, yeah. And yeah, and paradox with the trail running, because how I switched to trail yeah. running was that, you know, Lithuania, not mountainous country, you know, and I received, like after breaking the record, I received an invitation to the Lithuanian Ultra Runners Organization. And they said, hey, look, there is a, this like trail running championship in Serre Chevalier in France, you know, does anyone wants to go? You know, there is no selection because it's like,
yeah.
not existent in Fina. I said, hey, I'll go, I'll try, you know. And I didn't know what trail running is about, you know, like, so I trained again on the flat, you know, I went on the my duty trip, you know, to Obermargau in Germany. I never went to the mountains, even when I have mountains, I trained close to the river. And we're arriving to this Chevrolet and we start to run. It's night. I don't have a headlamp, you know, like it's always like said, how it's possible, you know, they like launch their event, which is like dark, you know, and how to run there. We start to climb the mountains and I said, what the fuck, you know, it's not possible to run. I started to hike. We reach the snow, you know, I said, come on, it's like, it's what event it is, you know, I said, I'll never do it again, you know, like when, yeah, somehow finish event and like I was sitting like totally tired. And I said, no, it was something amazing. Yeah? And this is how my trail running story began.
Yeah? It is very inspiring. What I also find very powerful, and I have a lot of respect for that, is the way you talk about your PTSD now. Yeah. I can imagine that that also was a switch, because you said in the beginning, it was very hard to even admit it, even show it. And now you're talking openly about it.
Yeah, because I already do for several years. But yes, at the beginning it was very difficult, because at first I didn't know even what it is, you know. I felt the symptoms, which is described now like PTSD, you know, anxiety, the like kind of burst of anger, you know, like even like the things like the shuttering the doors make me, you know, like crawl, you know, or like to come back to the war zone. And at first I didn't know, you know, I just noticed these things, but I didn't know that it's called PTSD, you know, and said like something wrong, you know, like something going on in my mind. It's never been before, you know, and yeah, and still being young, you know, and still being in military. I think at that time I was like lieutenant or like captain, and I still wanted to be a general. Right. So I said, OK, like I don't need to speak with anyone, you know, nobody asked me. So I don't speak about that, you know, even like after the mission, we need to do this questionnaire. Yeah? So I just hide out from all the psychologists, you know, that. And yeah, but I think the turning point was 2000, like whatever, like 14 or 13, when the Innovate at the time, like the brand who sponsored me, like they asked me some questions, and there was like this PTSD thing, and I said, okay, like I need to Google, you know, this.
Yeah,
this is what I started, you know, to speak more openly, yeah, because I said, okay, you know, it's time to open up, yeah? Because we are all mature, you know, and I think when we're becoming a little bit braver and courageous, and in my mind was the idea that maybe there is more people like me, and for sure there were, you know, who needs the help, you know, and who needs to see some like example that it's not some shame, you know, some it's not a sin to have that problem, and we need to speak about it, you know, and get better.
Yeah. What I also like about the way you're dealing with your sport is, and I think that's also related to the brain power thing, is that you go very deep into the science of every aspect that comes into touch with the running. So if I'm correct, you're not just running, but you know everything about food, you know everything about what the best training methods are, you know the parkour up front, like where it will be difficult, you plan accordingly. So you go really deep into all those things.
Yeah, I like to plan, you know, like details. Yeah, because like in my past life, I was as well like analyst, you know, I was like planner for intelligence. So I basically brought these skills to the running. Yeah? And of course, like in military, like others' lives depends on you, you know, in running your life depends on you. Yeah. So of course, even like the small details, like you said, like it matters. Yeah. And I learned it by reading, by accomplishing some course, you know, I'm certified, you know, you ask a online coach, you know, now I'm finishing the nutrition course for that. Yeah, so I like to read, I like to know details, and sometimes I experiment on myself, sometimes on my clients. Just joke.
So I think most people will know now that you coach me.
So you know, like knowledge is a power. Yeah. So when you know what to take and when to take, you know how to approach the running, it helps a lot. Yeah, and during the training, it's as well very important, you know. So I'm kind of disciplined, you know, with what I'm doing, because I still believe that I can improve. And actually, one recent race which I did in Madeira just proves that, you know, because I usually do the same race, you know, at the same time, at the same shape, and at the same effort. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like this year, I ran like 20 minutes faster than last year. Yeah. So aging
is 20 minutes is not even a small difference.
I know. And I didn't even expect that because I felt even greater than last year. Yeah. So it's a good like.
But is that then also related to the mind that you're, because you're going in more relaxed, that is also part of the...
Oh, yes. Like this relaxation is like the super important thing, because like whatever we do in our life, it's this. And if you do systematically and the same things, you know, if you're planning event, if you're running or you're doing intervals, you're basically pacing yourself at the same effort. But the more times you do the training, or the more times you plan the event, the more relaxed you become. Yeah? And when you're
You're more familiar with the circumstances,
exactly,
what can happen. And
exactly. And when you are making less mistakes, yeah, and you are not overstressed of some things which like on your mind when you're doing it for first or second or third
time.
Has
it also to do with trusting yourself in your capabilities to
do so? Of course,
so?
It's just like all the trainings which you do, it just builds your confidence. Yeah. So it's basically just different wording for trust in yourself, right?
Yeah. All right, Gediminas, it was a very interesting talk. Thank you so much for actually coming over from where you live for this interview. Is there anything you want to add for the audience?
I know if you don't have any questions, I can add a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know, but, I know,
so
but we all
I don't want to steal the time as well, you know, because it's like our days is everything should be short and concentrated and fast. So
yeah, but and if our listeners want to hear more, they need to book you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it will be my pleasure, you know, to come and to preach more because, you know, there is a lot of not what we spoke about yet, you know, like my life story, you know, the techniques which you could use to be more relaxed, you know, from the breathing to the nutrition, and like many hours.
Okay, but we will all book you to hear that. Thank you so much for coming over.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next week.